Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. Always a delight to be alongside for an hour as we study God's Word. Oh, and you've got one of the good ones with us today. And I don't mean me.
Well, I do mean you.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No. No, 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 no. Pastor Mark Hawkinson is here. From where do you know Pastor Mark Hawkinson every day?
Well, I was born in Wisconsin, raised in Kentucky.
Well, you've been around. Yeah, what did Johnny Cash sing? I've been everywhere, man.
Been
everywhere.
Oh,
well, Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
I can hear it now.
Moments of Assurance every day, noontime for your dining pleasure, I guess you might say, during your lunch break. Noontime every day right here on KFUO. Moments of Assurance, words of encouragement, words of assurance. Scripture, a little music, a little bit of everything.
I'm just trying to tell people from my own personal experience applying the scriptures along with music, just how to get through life using the Lord's strength, which you wonder sometimes how you can get through life.
Yeah, but, look around, brother. You got to wonder.
There's a way.
You got to wonder. Well, here we are. We are presented with yet two more verses in Romans. We're going through this very slowly. I don't know if a pastor appreciates a slow trip through Romans or if we should be moving at a faster clip, but you get two verses today, Romans 8, verses 6 to 8.
Yeah.
Well, technically 3, but if you read it, it's...
Technically 3. You kind of covered yesterday verse 6 quite well. But I like the go slow approach because you're able to be very thorough. And the book of Romans is the key to the scriptures.
It is.
So, you know, with that in mind, you can't go too quickly.
Well, if it is a key, what does it unlock?
It unlocks the understanding of how the Old Testament and the New Testament relate so very well, and the key to freedom in Jesus Christ comes out quite clearly. Freedom over sin, over death, and over the power of the invisible, the devil.
The devil.
You can't see him, but
the
he's there.
One.
Always trying to discourage you, bring you down, make you frown.
You may not see him, but you can see his fingerprints.
Yes. Oh, good. Yes. That's a good way to look at it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Romans 6, how goes everything on Moments of Assurance?
Well, so far, so good. As I say, it's something I greatly enjoy doing because I love to provide encouragement from the Scriptures. And that's the only way it's going to come is from the Holy Scriptures and the gospel message about Jesus Christ, that he's your Savior, he's your King, and he's also your coming back Lord. He will be returning. There's no question about it.
So look busy. Jesus is coming.
Be about what you're doing because the Lord is, he's on his way. I guess you could say in a way he is.
I have to admit to a bit of guilty pleasure doing this book of Romans on the Bible study.
Guilty pleasure?
Yeah, as a Lutheran.
Aren't those two terms mutually exclusive?
I don't know. That's up to you to tell me, Pastor, but if you... let me run with a bit of license to refer to it as guilty pleasures. It's been kind of fun skewering Calvinist dragons as we've been going through.
Honing in on the truth. Honing in on where it really lies.
And you get to do this, you could just go all kinds of places with this today, because when we look at this text, there's a real comparing and contrasting between two different views out there.
Absolutely.
About what it means to be flesh and what it means to be spirit.
Oh, that's right.
And that sort of thing. But if you would start with prayer, Pastor Hawkinson, let's get right about this.
Gracious God in heaven, your holy word is always there. Help each listener today to avail themselves of that word even more strenuously and deeply. As we remember the words of the Apostle Paul, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May this text come forth boldly and clearly to each listener, gracious God, that there are two distinct spheres of influence, the world, the flesh, and of course the spirit, and that indeed we desire to be in the sphere of the spirit. Help us to be in that sphere every single day through your gospel power, we pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. If you would like to join us this morning, and we encourage you to do so, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Are you interested in this, Mark? Look at this here. We received word from the big office down the hall.
Yes.
Now, I know this is probably the second most anticipated part of the program every day.
Yes, it is.
Who is listening?
I heard it yesterday. What was it? 38 countries?
38 countries?
Was it? Was that what it was
yesterday? They're a little slow this morning. It's a sleepy Wednesday. Only 32 United States states are listening.
Six countries short.
Including Santa Maria, Bernie, and Yorba Linda, California.
Wonderful.
They're all out there. 12 countries online. You want to venture a guess as to who may be listening? Streaming right now the Bible study.
I couldn't imagine why our favorite listener from Germany there, or who would it be? Switzerland?
I'm sure they're there.
Or,
but, other side of my family,
the other side of your family,
my mother's people, who sometimes forget their connection to the German heritage. Latvia is listening right now. My mom was born
fabulous.
Was born in Riga, one of the Hanseatic League cities. Also, Mexico and China.
Fantastic.
We're hitting all points today.
Fantastic.
Moments of assurance.
That's what makes worldwide KFUO very exciting to be a part of. The message gets out to so many people.
Here is the text for today. Romans, if you joined us a few moments late, Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Okay,
that is the text for today.
Here's the deal. You can't make a deal in terms of trying to...
Monty Hall would be so disappointed.
Well, you can't... Oh, my goodness. You can't... Well, I can't top that one today. I'm trying to, maybe another cup of coffee would provide the extra spark there.
Well, just wave at Buzz. You can see us.
Wave to Buzz.
Bring you a cup of coffee.
Point being, you can't remake the old nature. It's unremakable. All right. It is what it is. It's carnal and it's completely corrupt. You can't remake it. No, you can't. It's dead. You cannot pollute the new nature. It's unpollutable. It is what it is. Through your baptism, what you want is through contrition and repentance every day, you push down that old Adam and enter the sphere of the Spirit, the spiritual sphere, in a more dynamic way. So that's my goal every day, is to remember my baptism. I don't always do it. Believe me, I'm human. Oh, if you think I'm always remembering my baptism, no. I get involved in so many things, I forget that. But, you can't somehow inject something spiritual into the old carnal nature. It's just not going to work. We're born completely sinful, dead, blind, an enemy of God. And thank God for Jesus Christ, who came and delivered us from that spirit and transferred us into the arena of his life. And that's the arena that I want to be in every single day. I got on Facebook last night, kind of exciting. My grandson, his seventh birthday gift was, my family had tickets to the Cards game night here in St. Louis. Well, they didn't tell him. They took him out to dinner downtown St. Louis. They didn't tell him they were going to go there. And of course, he's a huge baseball fan. And so then when they entered into the arena, so to speak, then my daughter took a picture of him with the arena in the background and all the fans. So that's what we are transferred into, the arena with all the people out there, all the people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We're in that arena. We're in that sphere.
Forgive me for waxing cardinal for a moment, but
he had a
great game to go to last night.
Yes.
Save for one pitch, he almost got to witness a no-hitter last night.
Yes. Unfortunately, I was tied up with a project last night. I could not watch. I am a Cards fan, though.
Yeah.
I'm very much so. And I have been, been one for some time, but I'm just not always able to listen. That's to watch.
That's why St. Louis loves Pentecost, because everybody wears red.
That's right.
It's a wonderful time.
It is.
So if, I came across years ago, I don't know, there's so many anecdotes about American presidents, but supposedly one of the disciplines of Abraham Lincoln was that he would rise in the morning, grab his Bible, open a page, and sort of put a finger in it.
I heard that.
And try and take some direction from whatever verse it was his finger came to rest upon that day. Now, that's probably more mysticism than anything else. But imagine if you open your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and you land upon verse 8. those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, what's the point then?
Well,
shouldn't we all be off? I mean, why are we doing this program? Shouldn't we all just be off somewhere having fun?
No, it's just like you got the context of the whole situation with Pastor Lukomsky yesterday, who went back to 8 verse 1. Put everything in context. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who? And here's the key. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That's the key right there. Hmm. You get true freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you're going to get it. You can't generate it yourself. That's,
oh, well, surely pastors do good stuff. God-pleasing stuff.
Yeah, if it's a fruit of the Spirit, it is something generated by the Holy Spirit, then certainly it's acceptable and pleasing to God. But if it's a pastor that gets puffed up with pride, do you think that's possible, that a pastor could get puffed up with pride? Take a look at what...
You know I work for pastors, Mark. Don't make me go there.
Well, let's just all answer it for you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
Don't taunt the host, please.
And it's just like Pastor Lukomsky said yesterday. If a person becomes a little bit too puffed up, the Lord has a way of humbling you. And I get humbled, too. And I get reminded that I'm a sinner who needs a Savior.
But surely the great cathedrals of Europe, you know, Bach, Durer, all these things must please God in some way, shape, or form.
Well, they do. I would say that Bach's cantatas and things that he produced certainly were pleasing to God. They were to and for his glory.
But they were all done in the flesh, and it says right here at verse 8, nothing in the flesh pleases God.
Well, but Bach did it out of love for God. No question about that.
Okay.
He did it out of love for God and Christ. I mean, I read something about that the other day, that he was so moved by his own work, you know, that he was moved to tears. You know, during the it all depends on your vantage point.
What about things? Okay, we've talked about cathedrals and we've talked about different things, but what about things like repenting and believing?
It's a daily process.
Well, I mean, I'm in the flesh, at least if I repent and I believe, that must be something I'm doing that's going to be pleasing to God.
Oh, the Holy Spirit works through the Word.
Now, wait a minute.
Well, what do you mean, wait a minute?
This is stuff I'm doing. This is me. I'm doing this. I'm believing. I'm repenting.
No man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The word in the Greek there is totally only. Totally only. Yes. How about that? There's no room for any self-participation there on your part or on mine. So, hey, you know, here's the deal. You know, if I get up in the morning, and this is the truth, and there are mornings I do, and I don't immediately open the Bible or the Scriptures, I'm already on the wrong path. Because already, the flesh is powerful. Don't imagine for a moment, St. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, straining forward to those things which are ahead. So the Christian life, Paul refers to there as a race that is run, and you're straining, you're struggling against. St. Paul said, I beat my body and make it my slave so that I won't be disqualified for the prize. So St. Paul recognized that the Christian life is a struggle, and you know, you got to beat that body and beat it down using the power that is available to you, the spiritual power in God's precious and holy word, or it will beat you down. It'll beat you down. And that's the sarcos. The flesh is very powerful, and it'll get the best of you and the rest of you, the rest of me today.
Well, let me ask you this, because sometimes it's hard to discern, but what is the difference between a genuinely good and decent pagan out there in the community doing good things, saving children from hunger, building homes for the homeless, that sort of thing, and someone who might be a marginal Christian?
Well, the pagan, of course, the righteousness, the fact that there is a God, Psalm 14:1, only the fool says in his heart there is no God, everybody, that's implanted in the heart and in the mind of every single person. And so there's a certain civic righteousness that's even in the mind of the pagan. The pagan has God's law written in his heart as well. He knows that it's not right to go out and take a gun and shoot somebody. He knows that's not right. He may do it, but he knows that still that's not the right thing to do. So, that pagan may think, well, you know, if there is a God, if there is a being out there, maybe, just maybe, some of these civic things that I'm doing here might just be impressive to him in some way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and maybe if there is a life after death, you get this sort of thing. And then there are other pagans, quote unquote, who do it just because they like the attention. They, you know, that they get the glory. I mean, it's all about me. It's all about what I'm doing. And for someone else that's maybe doing a very similar thing, maybe it's a walk for breast cancer, you know, the breast cancer walk, something like that, which I certainly support. Having been a breast cancer survivor myself, male breast cancer, you know, that's I'm not afraid to talk about that because there are lots of men now that are coming out and they're saying, hey, I've had it too, you know, this kind of thing. So if, you know, if you're participating in a walk like that, you're doing it out of love for God, for the fact that this is His humanity. These are His people. Let's save some lives, you know, and let's hopefully maybe some of those lives that don't know Jesus Christ maybe will be so grateful for, you know, their healing that they'll take attention to the Almighty.
See, and that's the perception people take from God, that if you take someone who is one of these kind and generous pagans, giving, if that person gives a cup of cool water to a thirsty child somewhere in Ethiopia, that it's not seen as a God-pleasing act simply because they're a pagan.
Well, I am sure that it is
a good thing. That seems awfully harsh.
You know, it does. I'm sure that the benefit there of the reception of that water is a good thing for God, and that He is happy that that person can receive that. But as far as merit or as far as worthiness in the part of the person who did it, no, there is no merit. There's no, Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags.
And someone can spend a lifetime outside of Christ, feeding children, sheltering the homeless, doing all kinds of great civic works, donating all their money to charitable causes that are worthy and right, and be condemned to hell for eternity.
That is correct.
That's why people don't like God.
Without faith in Christ, there is no salvation. Well, the miracle, though, is that God didn't just obliterate His whole creation when man fell into sin. You know what I mean? That's He gave us an out. Jesus Christ. He gave us the gospel, a way that we can be able to be with Him forever in eternity. He's so gracious and so loving that He gave up His all He had.
Yeah.
What else did He have besides His only Son? He gave Him up into death so that we would not have to die eternally.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that when pastors take the time to explain, you know, the text and the words in the Greek, like you did just a moment ago, when you come to talking about Easter time and what happens on the cross, and we talk about the cup of wrath being drained to the last drop in totality, you know, so just as He is emptying Himself, He's also consuming everything that we should be.
That's right. And there's nothing left for you or I to consume because it's already consumed. And that's why I say when you wake up on Easter morning, I don't know if you've experienced this. I would say you and your family, I know the church that you're a member of, their Ascension, very fine congregation over there in South City, St. Louis. But I would say on Easter morning that you and your family get up and you say, yeah, it's Easter morning. He is risen. He's risen indeed. And then you say to yourself, really? You know, I see, this is just too good to be true.
I don't know. We go to sunrise. We don't say very much until they strike the fire and we process into the church. That's about the time we wake up.
But my point being that even though it seems too good to be true, it is. And that is what makes Easter so exciting. The fact that it is true, even though it appears that it must be impossible. So that's my point in that.
You know, one of the things, had a little bit of fun. I like theology.
Well,
so I get into a lot of stuff that other people find really kind of boring. But the other day I had brought up Docetism. I said we had some fun with Docetism. Today I want to talk about Arminianism. You want to do that? You want to go talk about Arminius a little bit?
Well, we could a little bit.
Well, because when we talk about those who are in the flesh cannot please God— You know, if salvation isn't up to me because anything I do in the flesh is a sinful act, what about making a decision to invite Jesus into my heart?
Well,
doesn't God appreciate me helping Him along a little bit?
No, you don't have to help Him when He's already completed the whole deal. See, there is no deal. You don't make a deal with God.
No.
There is no deal. There's just a meal in heaven, a heavenly meal. No deal, just a meal. And it's a gift. It's a a meal that he provides freely without your participation. And, you know, I happened to, my wife had this on television Saturday night. I got back from KFUO. I had done some recording all afternoon here at Worldwide KFUO. And I went back home, and I thought, should I finish mowing the lawn? No, I don't think so. So I came in.
And, you have headlights strapped on your lawnmower?
That's right, no. And so I came in, and what would be on the television but an old Billy Graham crusade?
Really?
When from the 1970s. And the invitation was given. I want everyone, you know, to come forward. I want you, everyone to Christ called, he called publicly and all of this, come forward and all of this. And I just told her, you know, those people that come forward, you can't judge their heart. I don't know what's in their heart, but they're doing so after the fact. You cannot make a decision for Christ. You cannot do that. What those people are experiencing is the Holy Spirit's already worked, and all they're doing is confirming. They're publicly confirming what already has happened in their heart. Of course, there may be some people that nothing's happened and are just coming forward for the fun of it, or just to get some materials or whatever. You can't judge. You don't know what's in the individual's hearts.
So there can be no salvation before there is regeneration?
That's right. That's right. He's the one who regenerates you through your baptism. Now, there's some adults, as you know, from your congregation that come to adult instruction. They have never been in a church before.
Many, right.
As the pastor teaches them, they are instructed about baptism, Holy Communion, the office of the keys, the Lord's Prayer, the six chief parts of Christian doctrine. And then they have an opportunity to say, hey, do you believe this? Do you acknowledge it? Do you receive it? And if they do, they are brought into the church, and then they are baptized if they have not already been baptized.
So to understand this is an important distinction,
sure.
I think,
all right.
Pastor Hawkinson. God does not look at me struggling through life down here, trying my best, and he looks at me and he says, I see something in him worthy of salvation, and then he gives me the gift of faith.
Correct. Absolutely correct. No, he doesn't do so.
He doesn't do that.
He doesn't do so in view of your faith either, okay? He doesn't do so intuite fide. That's what it's called.
Intuite fide.
Well, I'm not trying to. I just happen to remember that.
You should write a tune.
No,
that's catchy.
I'm not good at languages or anything. I'm just saying that I happen to remember that from seminary days. I do recall that. And but it isn't in view of anything about you. It's not about you. It's about what God has already done through his precious and only Son, and that he desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. You can join us 821-0850.
I can't get used to those numbers.
No, it's I've made the mistake of going back to the old one because there's so by rote repetition in my head. That's why we stuck it on the wall. Gary got a marker.
That's a good idea.
Wrote that up there on the column, as you can see.
Excellent.
1-800-730-2727. The email is up and running. So if you're in Latvia or Mexico or China or any of the 32 states or more that are listening to us online right now, shoot us an email. Just tell us where you're listening, how you listen to are you using the KFUO app? Do you have a smartphone? Do you have an Android? You know you can get an app for your smartphone or your Android. You should check that out. More information at the website, KFUO.org. So let me get this straight. We got about a minute before we go to the break, Pastor Hawkinson. And I see you looking at you're a radio guy.
Yeah.
You're going, what's he doing with asking for the phone calls now? No.
No, I'm not.
I want to get folks primed.
Have I ever questioned you?
No.
I've never questioned you, Roland.
The break is a great time to call in. So we're going to have to talk about good works and about pleasing and not pleasing things for God. So when it comes to good works, for those who affiliate that with earning salvation. You do good things or you stay in your faith because you do good works. And this, again, I said, is an important distinction. Why is it that the rest of the church is all about, I mean, you watch Joel Osteen, it's all about raising man up. But then we sit and listen to you guys preach, and it's all about tearing man down.
No.
Driving me down.
No, that's not true. That is not
sin.
No, well, it's the preaching of law and gospel, man. That's what it's all about. Preach law and gospel.
So that's part of being regenerated.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know that you're a sinner before you recognize your need for a savior. You know, otherwise, you don't think, why bother? You know, I'm a pretty good person.
I wanted you to stew on that.
Or
for
parson,
the next...
pretty good person, or parson.
Pretty good.
Case
I'd say
maybe.
You're a good parson.
Oh,
I will put it there.
I'm a sinner who needs a savior.
All right, you've got the phone numbers. 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. So we'll see when we get back. Is Pastor Hawkinson going to bring us up? or tear us down? You have to stick around to find out. We'll be right back.
Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Did you know that you can support KFUO Radio with your Thrivent Choice dollars? Thrivent Choice lets you recommend where some of Thrivent Financial's charitable outreach funds go by directing your choice dollars. Call 800-847-4836 and say Thrivent Choice, or visit thrivent.com/choicedollars for information on how you can support KFUO Radio with your choice dollars.
On the next broadcast of Law and Gospel, it's Insight Wednesday. We're going to talk about the two doctrines of the Bible, where a lot of people think they are two gods in the Bible, but that is not correct.
Weekdays at 2 p.m. on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUIC. Some folks have taken my advice. The break is a good time to call in at 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. You know, every once in a while, listener will send a note in and say, you know, you need to keep mentioning the text a little bit more frequently. But we get into such good study here that it's hard to remember to do that. So the formatics sometimes fall to the side for the sake of the theology. But it's Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. You can catch up if you joined us late. Read ahead and we'll see right where we are. All right. As we went to the break and before we go to the phones, Pastor Hawkinson, Pastor Mark Hawkinson, Moments of Assurance. Every day, noontime.
Noontime, Central. Sunday morning, 9:15 to 9:30.
Help scoot you along to church. Or greet you when you come out, depending upon what service you go to.
I really like it. Enjoy it.
So we were talking about being built up or being torn down. And it seems the public face of what passes for the American church, and our context is television. We're a visual people. We have been since the 50s. Television
Certainly.
Norms and types almost everything we do as a culture.
Unfortunately,
not saying that's a good thing, but it does. So the public face of what the church is all about building people up and feeling good. And then you Lutheran pastor guys stand up there and go, you're a sinner.
That's right.
You make us confess things like, I'm a poor, miserable sinner.
Yeah. In and of yourself, you are.
Yes.
That's the deal. It just in and of yourself, you're a poor, miserable sinner, but not in Christ. In Christ, you're not miserable.
I'm not?
No.
What have I been doing wrong for the last 52 years?
No, in Christ, you have redemption. You have the gift of being able to live forever that God has given you. So you're not miserable.
I'm not?
No. Don't ever think of yourself that way. So you come away from communion with joy and with much assurance, since that's my program, the Moments of Assurance. You have complete assurance that you're going to live forever. And the book of Romans talks about that. Romans 15:4 talks about the through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So, the school of hard knocks in life provides more endurance for you as you get through it. And as you remember the words of the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's how you make it through another day, not on your own power. So you come away from communion, with much joy, knowing that you are precious to God and that he has given up his precious son and his own son's blood for your redemption.
Let's go to the phones. Let's see who's up first today. It looks like it is Cheryl, who is in Indianapolis. Good morning, Cheryl. Thank you for the call.
Good morning, and thank you for the program. And I have to say thank you to Mark Hawkinson, too, for his program.
Well, thank you, really Cheryl. Appreciate that.
You were talking about being in an arena,
Yes.
And reminded me of my daughter's confirmation verse, which is Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is a story of our Christian life. And my daughter's niece is going on 2 years old. She was born at 26 weeks, I guess it was, or no, prematurely. And she is now has a swollen lymph glands, which they can't decide what caused that. And she has a blood infection, and she's been in the hospital for 7 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, so we need this great cloud of witnesses around us to keep encouraging us, and they're there.
Yeah.
And it's like being in an arena, and we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and we have the witnesses around us.
Yeah.
Encouraging us.
Cheryl, hang on for a second.
Let's have a prayer, if we could, here. Gracious God in heaven, you know this niece that has these physical difficulties right now, and we ask that you use the available means through the doctors, through medication, through any other means provided in the hospitals to be able to provide healing for this gal that is so precious to you. We know that you have her in your love and care, and we know that you have the family in your love and care as well. So be with the family. We'll be with all involved. Encourage them through passages like these passages in Hebrews and other scriptures like Psalm 121, where the psalmist wrote, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And gracious God, since we know that you have made the heavens and the earth, we know that you have obviously have the power and the ability to help this gal, this girl, and to be able to be healed. So we ask that your will be done, and that we pray that it is our will as well, that we pray that you would heal her. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And her name is Sophia.
Sophia. Well, that's a pretty name. Okay. Well, we'll keep her in mind, and we appreciate that very much, Cheryl. And
okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Cheryl. All the best. All right. Who's next? Larry, good morning. You're next, Larry.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Hawkinson.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Doing fine. Thank you.
Roland, you mentioned free will, a little snippet of free will earlier.
Preview of coming attractions.
Like what Luther has to say on the topic in his argument with Erasmus, he simply states, it's either free will or grace. It can't be both. As far as our will, you know, it's interesting. I'm reading Robert Kolb's book, Pastor, Christian Faith.
Oh, yes, Robert Kolb, he has several books out, I think. That's
right.
One of them,
this
sure,
one is
right.
Entitled The Christian Faith.
Mm-hmm.
God's will for man, he simply states, in Genesis 2:17, I know we're getting a little off the topic, but it's kind of on topic with the will. He gave his instructions to Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree, right? And then In chapter 3, Eve turns around and tells the serpent, "You shall not touch of it." So right away, right from the very beginning, man is playing with God's word. God's will wasn't good enough. Man had to pervert his
that's true. Yeah,
his word.
That's right.
And like Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. And I'll leave you with this. When you start talking about the Reformed theology, synergism, all of these different theological terms. There's a book, it's out of print, but it's an awesome book. You could probably get it online for $3 or $4. It's called Popular Symbolics. Are you familiar with that book, Pastor?
I've heard the title. I don't have the book. I would like to get a copy. That would be great. Yeah.
It goes all the way back, like Roland mentioned, Arminianism, Chileism, you name it, Calvin's doctrine, Swingley. Every reformed body that's ever stepped foot on American soil is mentioned in this book. So
wow.
You can probably pick it up for $3 or $4, and it's a great read. So thanks for your time.
Good tip, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. God bless.
I wonder if it includes my favorite one, just because it's
Which
fun
one
to
is
say.
That?
It's just fun to say. Sacerdotalism.
Oh, yes, yes. Are you a sacerdotalist?
I hope not.
No, me neither. I'm not. No, I'm definitely
not. I'll have to check my driver's license and find out.
In case anybody's listening, you know, I'm not a sacerdotalist. Okay.
Hey, Jan, you're up next. How's everything in Atlanta?
Oh, wet, and people are driving accordingly.
It is raining. I saw that on the Weather Channel, and that's where the Weather Channel is located. That's their headquarters, is Atlanta.
Yeah, you can't kill the messenger.
Okay, that's good. Oh, Jan, I can't beat that one. That's good. All right.
I really appreciate the previous callers. You know, that's to my mind the difference between a pagan and a Christian, whether nominal or faithful. It's Christ, and
absolutely.
You know, He unifies us in His body, and with us caring for each other and praying for each other. And I really appreciate you lifting her up. I was on Facebook last night, too. I probably should have gone to bed.
It's hard to go to bed. Once you get on there, you want to all kinds of things there. Yeah,
I got into it with one of my friends. She had posted a quote. Apparently, Pope Francis said that pagans or what did he say? Atheists can be redeemed, are redeemed if they do good things.
If they follow their conscience.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Reason we got into it was because my friend and I, because God says in Genesis that our heart is continuously evil, and that we can't do anything good. Either our motives are wrong or our execution. That's why we are sinners in thought, word, and deed. And the other thing is, you mentioned earlier, Roland, about Lincoln's Bible study or whatever. I have done that. You know, I think that it's in Proverbs. It says something about man can plan, but God orders his steps. And I think, yes, it's very important to me to know that if I go to church, I can just read through the Bible in 3 years, because we're on a 3-year lectionary.
Right, right.
But if I have something specific between me and God, and I ask him, God, guide my hand. Show me in your word something to encourage me or correct me. And he's faithful. I can testify to that I open his word, and it's usually something directly for me.
I can relate to that. I know what you're talking about there, yeah.
So it's not one or the other, it's both. Isn't that the good Lutheran answer?
Yeah.
I thought the good Lutheran answer was yes. Or why do you ask?
Or both.
Yeah. Building is up. You know, Paul says that no foundation can be laid except the one that is laid. So, yeah, I'm in construction, and I think renovation is appropriate sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Very good.
Thanks, Jan. Appreciate it.
Always good to hear from you.
Have a great day.
Lots of time left in the program. 821-0850 here in the St. Louis metro area. If that number doesn't work, try 1-800-730-2727 or the email. Up and running, looking good.
KFUO@KFUO.org.
That's it.
That's it.
Thank you for paying attention.
All right. All right. You talked about Abraham Lincoln. You know,
I did.
He once said that when I'm down on my knees, there's no place else to look but up. He once made that quote. And that's true. If you're down in that position, he certainly was apparently a man of prayer.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. This is one of these questions that I think many people, you know, kick around in their mind from time and again. They don't dwell on this, but it's, you know, if you read a verse like verse 8 of chapter 8 of Romans, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Everyone outside of Christ is spiritually dead. We've made that abundantly clear. They are separated from God. They're unable to seek or to please God. They're completely cut off from the tree of life if they're outside of Christ. So far, so good?
Yeah, that's right.
And this is our natural condition. We are born sinful.
That's correct.
Yes. Then how is it that anyone is saved?
Well, with man, this is impossible. With God, the Bible says, all things are possible. And, in fact, done through God's precious and only Son. It's a done deal. It, with the veil of the temple was torn in two on a Good Friday, meaning that you and I have direct access to the Heavenly Father right now. We can go directly to the Heavenly Father because the ransom has been paid. And you know what? You pay a ransom to get something that rightfully belongs to you, you're going to come back and retrieve it. You're going to go to the redemption center, just like green stamps. You don't get the green stamp. You're going to go to the redemption center and get what's rightfully yours. That's why you know Jesus is coming back, because he has to come back to get what's rightfully his.
You know, you've got a bunch of 20-somethings out there going, what? Green what?
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of that. Oh, does that date me or what? You mean they don't still have green stamps today?
I don't think they have plaid stamps or any of those stamps anymore.
They have to have green stamps. No green stamps today?
I think there was some court that somewhere that said
that's a thing of the past.
That's not a good thing.
Okay, all right. I admit it. That dates me. I'm sorry. That does. That puts me in three decades. I'm three decades in the wrong place.
You have to spice up. You have to contemporize your analogies, your metaphors a little bit more.
Oh, dear we.
All right. Another serious question, though, is that if the mind on, we talk about the mindset on flesh and the mindset on spirit. If the mindset on the flesh is always going to be hostile towards God, does that mean we're talking about a hostility that's like the militant atheist who's always out there raging and shaking his fist at God? Or is there such a thing as a soft hostility?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's not everybody's a terrorist out there. I mean, in the flesh, you know.
Yeah.
We're not all in that boat. No, just that...
Could it be that you could even be somebody, like I said, out there doing good things?
Yeah.
But you want a God of your own creation as opposed to the one you get?
You see, if you're in the spirit of the flesh, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to deny that God exists at all, or you are going to... get wrapped up that you think you can basically do whatever you want. You know, you got a license to sin. You can do, you know, the sky's the limit. You mm-hmm. set your own standards, your own boundaries. You become your own God.
Yeah.
You become your own God. And that, when you're in a spirit of the flesh, that is the, and that's why the end result is death. You can't live. The only way you can live is through Jesus Christ. Eternally. There's no other way to live eternally except through faith in Jesus Christ and by believing in him. There is no other escape out of this world, out of the flesh. You know, you've got flesh, I do too.
I got a little bit more than you do.
No, I wouldn't say that, but someday your flesh and mine will be in a tomb or in a grave, but you're still going to be living. You will be alive. Jesus said to the thief, I know the very familiar words, I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. So there's never a second, there's not a single second of time when you're not going to be with the Lord. And that alone is an exciting thing to consider on this blessed, what is today, Wednesday?
You know why so many people hate Paul? I mean, they really do out there. A lot of folks just hate Paul. A lot of folks wish that he had never come along. They wish they could have a Bible without Paul because it would be such a better place. If it weren't for him, Paul doesn't paint in shades of gray. He's black and white. You don't have a choice. Either you love God or you hate him.
Yeah.
Period.
There's no middle ground. Yeah. Yeah. It's no maybes. There's no whitewashing, whitewashed tombs, you know, where you have the appearance of being a Christian, but I think you mentioned that yesterday in the program as well. You talked a little bit about that.
Well, that was the Pharisees. They were religious.
They were religious.
They were the faithful guys.
They had the 616-some law codes that they had, like a Sabbath day's journey. You could only walk so far on the Sabbath day, and all of these rules and regulations that the Judaism, that's what we call it. We call it Judaism, that it had developed over the intertestamental period of time.
Hmm. You see, the other thing about Paul not painting in shades of gray is that there's one bottom line there. No one is spiritually neutral. There is no such thing. You can be ambivalent. You can be nonchalant towards God. Everybody is a spiritual being, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, God says you're either for me or against me.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
And no matter how much you tell yourself there is no God, that doesn't change the reality of the fact that there is.
Very few atheists on a plane going down. And that's reality. You know, I've talked to people, you know, I've seen newsreels, you know, about that. And that's true.
So you can't opt out.
Well,
you can't just say, I don't like this God stuff. You know, I prefer to go it on my own. And if there is a God and I meet him at the end of time, he'll understand that I just couldn't dig what he was doing.
Well, you can opt out. You can opt out and then you are out. See what I'm saying? You're out.
Which means you're
perish.
In trouble.
Yes, that's right.
If you opt out, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you can turn your back on God.
That can
I'm
do
saying.
A Mark Hawkinson down again.
You can. What do you mean by that? I resemble that comment.
No. If anything, it's because guys like you have taught me so much stuff over the years.
No.
That I can sit here and even act like I know what I'm doing.
Well, you do, and you do a good job, very good job.
Why do you think indifference, and we'll go back to the phones here in just a moment, why do you think indifference, not hatred, but indifference, ambivalence towards God is so appealing?
I think people just
don't care. You tell them about eternal consequence and whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that just is part of the nature of living in the spirit of the flesh. That it just goes along with it. There's certain, you know, emotions and certain decisions that are made that coincide and conform to the flesh.
Yeah.
It just kind of goes right. You remember, let's go back to the 1960s, since I seem to like to do that.
I was there.
Okay, yeah. But even the 20-somethings today have heard this song. If they listen to like an oldies station, I won't mention any specific oldies station.
There are no radio stations outside of KFUO.
There's
what
nothing.
Are you speaking
KFUO
of, sir?
Is the only station. That's right. But there was a song called Excuse the Poor Grammar, I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
But remember the rest of the song? And I try, and I try, right, and I try. Well, yeah, that's because you can try all you want to. You're not going to get satisfaction in the sphere of the flesh. Because the flesh, the end result is death. And you have to keep adding on to, you have to augment. See, that's people that live in the spirit of the flesh think, if I just had another $10,000 of income or $20,000, I'd be happy. If I just had a little higher position in the corporation, I'd be happy. If I if I would have married somebody else, I would have been happier. If I would have, you know, or whatever the case might be, they're looking in the wrong place for satisfaction in their life. That's because they're in the spirit of the flesh. In the spirit of the spirit, that's where their true satisfaction is going to come from, in Jesus Christ.
Back to the phones. Rick, thanks for waiting.
Oh, that's all right, Roland. Thanks for taking the call. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. And thank God for that incorruptible seed. Even if you're talking to a man that's got an IQ of 200, to stack that up against God's infinite knowledge, that guy doesn't know much.
That's
and
true.
A paradox is not a fancy word for contradiction. With God's mind and his actions, what he has chosen to do is just like they say, is the pot going to speak to the potter? And say, what have you done here?
Right.
Matthew Henry has got one of my favorite all-time quotes, and it's, I began in grace, I'll end in glory. And it's just God. And we don't completely understand him, and we sure can't completely explain to him.
Yeah. Can't argue with that, Rick. I mean,
and
that's true.
So
yeah.
When Roland asks you, why do some have such an animosity? Well, why did Lucifer? Your father is the father of lies. And that's what lies within a lot of people.
That is absolutely correct. Yeah, that's just enmity. The word is enmity. And
there you go.
Yeah, that's it right there. And I so appreciate those comments.
All right.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, just a quick comment. I'll get back to you. Just the word by nature, if you're living in the spirit of the Spirit, you have enmity toward God, hatred, even hatred. But that doesn't mean a terrorist-type hatred where you're doing something horrible like that.
We have another couple of callers, but I got to get this question in also. Because when you talk about not being in the flesh, but being in the Spirit, does anyone really love God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, their body, their strength? Does anyone really ever do that?
Not perfectly. On this side of eternity. Not perfectly, of course not. But with the measure that you get, let's put it this way. I'm just going to just use a very simple analogy here. Very, very elementary. The more an individual gets into the Lord's Word throughout the day and every day of their lives, the more they're going to be influenced by the Holy Spirit and the more they're going to be controlled by the Spirit. It's really through the Word and sacraments. It's really quite that elementary and simple, but also very, very true. Life in the Spirit is for you and it's for me. But no, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind. No, I don't do that. I can't do it. See, that's just the point. I can't. There's no way that I can. There's no way that you can. Not 100%. But every time I get into the Lord's Word through the precious gospel message, I'm impacted. I'm affected. Aren't you? You admit it.
Oh, yes.
You're affected by it.
Yes.
And your faith increases, your love for the Lord increases, and the fruits increase as well. So, anyway.
And at times it can be darn frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you look at the folks around you and you go, really?
Well, don't worry about the other folks. Just, you know, get into the Lord Word. Don't worry about, don't compare yourself.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Get a call from Linda down in Farmington. Good morning.
Hi, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning, Linda.
Hi. When you were talking about satisfaction, I went back to a verse in John where Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet, and he says, you know, if you know these things and you do them, happy are ye. And I think that goes for the whole counsel of God to just, like you said, Pastor, just yield to his word, and we do find happiness. We do find the fulfillment and satisfaction in our hearts as we go to his word and Jesus begins to live in our hearts and dwell in our hearts, and we find him coming out more and more throughout the day, and our eyes are on him, and we are happy, and we are content because he is there giving us the peace that passes all understanding, the peace the world cannot give or take away. And that is really happiness, isn't it?
It is, Linda. I appreciate that insight. It's very, very good insight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda.
It's kind of like Peter walking across the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. He took his eyes off Jesus, looked at the world and her situation, he began to sink.
When it comes to living in the flesh as opposed to living in the Spirit, you know, because as we talked about, God demands things from us, like loving him with our whole heart and our whole being.
Right.
Would it be an oversimplification to simply put it like this? What God demands, God provides. If he demands that we love him, he gives us the ability.
Well, that's really true. Except you'll never do it 100%. You know, it's impossible.
But we can't do it at all unless we get it from him.
That's right. It's all from
first.
Him. That's a good insight. It's all from him. It's all about him,
so
not about
you. With him.
No.
Yeah, if you don't think you can love God, well, apparently you can.
Get back in the sphere of the Spirit. Mm. The Spirit sphere.
The Spirit sphere.
Yeah. Say it 10 times real fast.
No, thank you. Okay. No, thank you. A real radio professional might take that challenge. I shall not. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, you can hear him in an hour from now.
And oh, boy.
Moments of Assurance. It's a great program.
Thank you.
It's a delight for your lunchtime listening. Go outside, even if it is cloudy today.
That's right.
You know, take your smartphone.
It's not raining here now, is
it? Not yet.
No, not yet.
It
may.
Yeah. Wait till I go to lunch. If I'm going to sit outside, it'll start raining. Trust me. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, don't miss him. Moments of Assurance every day, noontime. Coming up next, the program that precedes Moments of Assurance, Faith and Family. We'll see you all tomorrow. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.